Blog Talk Radio.
From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my love's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my love's name is to be praised. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Praise his holy name. Praise thy name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to his name. Praise the name of the Lamb. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the sin, my last sin is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the sea, my lost name is to be praised. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Praise his holy name. Praise thy name of the Lord. Let be the name of the Lord. Praise his holy name. Praise thy name of the Lord. Rising of the sun to the going down of the sin, my love name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the sin, my love name is to be praised. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Praise his holy name. Praise thy name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise his holy name. Praise thy of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the sin, my love is to be praised. Fill me up, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up, Lord, fill me. I am thy vessel. I lift my cup to you. Fill me up, Lord, fill me. Fill me up, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up, Lord, fill me. I am thy vessel. I lift my cup to you. Fill me up, Lord, fill me. Reign you mighty, Lord, reign you mighty. Reign you mighty, Lord, reign you mighty. I am thy vessel, I lift my cup to you. Reign you mighty, Lord, reign you mighty. Keep me up, Lord, keep me up. Keep me up, Lord, baby. I am thy vessel. I lift my cup to you. Keep me up, Lord, baby. Renew my faith, Lord, renew my faith. Renew my faith, Lord, renew my faith. I am thy vessel, I leave my faith to you. Renew me, Lord, renew my faith. Keep me up, Lord, feed me up. Feed me up, Lord. Feed me. I am thy vessel. I need your spirit. Feed me up, Lord. Feed me. When you're my friend, Lord, renew my strength. Renew my spirit, Lord. Renew my spirit. I am thy vessel. I need your spirit. Give me your blood, baby. I am thy vessel. I need your power. Fill me up, Lord, feed me. I am thy vessel. I need your spirit. Fill me up, Lord, feed me. I am thy vessel. I need your spirit. Fill me up, Lord. Feed me. I am thy vessel. I need your anointing. Fill me up, Lord. Feed me. I am thy vessel. I need your spirit. Fill me up, Lord. Feed me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. And goodwill to all men and women and boys and girls. All over the world, wherever you are, there is no distance. Oh, yes, the earth is the Lord and his fullness thereof. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for yet another day, another bright summer day. Heat and sweating, and we are enjoying it. Yes, very soon now, we shall be moving into winter again. And then it's going to be cold again, and everybody will be scrambling for the heat to come. That's all right. Whatever weather we are into, we are all right with it. We want to thank God today. God has been so good to us, and we give him glory for all that he's doing. Today we shall be looking at the topic, from whence cometh fighting and quarreling and conflict and confrontation among you. You'll be surprised why we are still on this topic. It is what is going on right now. That is what is going on right now. Look at the news. Look around you. Just look around you. You find that it is the same thing that is still happening. You know, every day it is not stopped. But as we servants of God are preaching and praying and teaching and ministering, we are believing God that God will intervene and bring peace on earth and unity and love and oneness and singleness of heart. It's not a one man's work. United we stand, divided we fall. The believers are praying in one accord. Churches all over the world are praying. Christians are praying that we will experience the peace of God on earth, and the gospel shall be preached unhindered. So today we're going to be talking about the reasons why there's so much infighting and conflict and confrontation. I will thank God. God has blessed us with men of God are coming. I'm going to share for a few minutes, and then our Honorable Father in the Lord, Reverend Bishop Samuel Imam, is going to take over and bless us once again. Sir, we are welcome, sir.
Thank you.
For some days now. Well, we thank God. We are privileged again to have the man of God around again to bless us with the word of God. So quickly, I'm going to share a couple of minutes, and then it's going to take over. Our text here is taken from the book of James, chapter 4, from verses 1 to 3. James happens to be the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and he's a man of peace, the man who brought peace to the church in Jerusalem and among the Christians in the early church. He wrote here, the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, from whence comes wars and fighting and quarrelings and conflicts and confrontation amongst you, even in the church, not just in the outside world now. This was primarily addressed to the church, but then it also applied to the world, it applied to government, apply to our various homes and families, apply to schools and places where we work, and all that. They are all included because the fighting is going on here and there. The conflict and confrontations are everywhere. We are praying, God, that all this situation will calm down we return to normal, return to peace, and so on. And so the question was, from where comes fighting amongst you? How come there is so much conflict and confrontation? And then the answer was also provided in verses 2. Now, see, is it not from you trying to be greedy? Is it not that you trying to own everything to yourself? You trying to be selfish, trying to be greedy? You are not asking God, and you don't ask aright. You want things for the wrong purpose. You want to own everything. You want to have. You want to possess. You want to enter. You want to take over for the wrong purpose. Then he now says, that you may consume it upon your own lust. That's the whole reason. See, one person wants to own everything. I used to wonder. I said, how are these people going to make it? These people, you know, try to amass wealth and riches and everything. One man was asked, how did you become a billionaire? They asked him, and he was very sincere. He said, my friend, the whole thing, there is a lot of trickery, a lot of cheating. They have to cheat people, they have to lie. They have to oppress people to get there. They will see why. They will call it black. A lot of things, you know, fraudulent practices, oppression, all kinds of things people do to get there. And in the process, they offend God, they offend humanity, they step on people, and all that is going on. Is it really true that this is how God wants us to live? No. God doesn't intend that in this world, all we'll be doing is to oppress people to get what we need. All we are doing is to deprive others. See, there's so much deprivation. The other day, governments allocated money to a department of transportation, to tar roads and make roads and water and build schools and college and then pipe water, electricity, and phone lines for communities. The contractors and the commissioners, they just met and then they diverted the whole money. Then the next thing, they went and put gravel on the road, and then they said that they have constructed the road. This is what was supposed to be done for the whole community. This is money that government allocated for community development. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4 people have connived, and they have diverted the whole of that into their private pockets and then left everybody suffering. These are the things we meet every day, we see. Is this how God wants us to live? It is the reason there is so much conflict and confrontation. One person wants to own everything. If you look at the scriptures, you find out that God didn't intend that we should live this way. Look at Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. Cain and Abel, Cain offered sacrifice, Abel offered sacrifice, but the one of Abel was accepted. The one of Cain was rejected. And then the Bible says that Cain had to kill his brother Abel in the wilderness. You know, that was the first murderer in the Bible. So the first time someone was killing somebody. Somebody was killing another person. And what was the reason? It was done out of envy and jealousy, you know, anger. Why am I not making, why, you know, just why is he better than me? Why is he doing good? Why is he going forward and I'm not going forward? See, these are attitudes that God himself condemned. See, the Bible condemned all these type of attitudes. And what did God do? God was offended. Genesis chapter 4, from verses 8 to 12, God was offended to the point where he pronounced curses upon Cain for killing his brother. You are killing your brother Abel because his sacrifice was accepted. Even of you to repent, you Cain. Even of you to repent and find out what was wrong with you. You now, out of anger and jealousy and envy, you have killed your brother. And this is what James was talking about. You kill to have. You fight and kill to have. And you have not because you don't act for the right purpose. I'm praying God today that people with this kind of spirit, there shall be deliverance of them upon Mount Zion. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bring deliverance to you today through this broadcast. As the men and women of God are going to be ministering and sharing the word, I want you to know that God wants you delivered from this spirit of greediness and selfishness, the spirit of envy and jealousy, the spirit of covetousness, whereby people are not satisfied with what they have. They try to step on people, try to oppress people, jump on people, trample people under feet. This is not the spirit of God. God is not like that. God does not operate in that dimension. We pray that the Holy Spirit will convince everyone that is involved in this type of God's acts, to repent and turn away today from their evil ways, so that we can live in peace and unity, we can live in love, we can live in one accord. Divided we fall, united we stand. Divided we fall, united we stand. United we stand, divided we fall. You see, there must be unity, there must be love and peace amongst us, the people of God. There is only one God who created every one of us. And he created of us to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. How come you are killing your people, killing everybody, oppressing, you know, depriving people, wickedness? You know, this is not the Spirit of God. May the Holy Spirit convince our saints that are in this trap, in this net. May the Holy Spirit bring you out of it in the name of Jesus. We pray for the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God to reign in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our marriage, in our children, in our education, in our government. Let there be peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at the Republicans and Democrats. They are in conflict. And then they are trying to kill FBI people and all these things. It shouldn't be. You go to Capitol Hill and start rioting all because you want to win politics. You want to be president by all means. And then you are trying to do a lot of things, you know, terrorizing people. And we don't have to. We don't have to. God wants us to live in peace, in unity, and in love, and in oneness, and in singleness of heart. May God bless this word into our lives today, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to give room to our Father in the Lord, our Honorable Bishop Samuel E. Monk. He's going to share with us maybe 20 minutes or so, or 30, whatever, to give us what God has laid in his heart today. So,
Saya,
welcome. Over to you.
Thank you. Today, I'm going to approach this topic and this passage from the learned experience of John Maxwell.
Yes.
And as somebody who... And as somebody who is a conflict resolutionist,
yes,
this passage deals with the subject of problem solving. How to solve problems. And in these two verses, we see the reason for the problems, the result of our problems, and the remedy for our problems.
Yes.
The three R and the three H in this passage. The first one is the reason for our problem is selfishness. The Bible in the Biblical language, it is called hedonism, selfishness, which our brother just talked about. Jesus offers the answer to our question. The source of our problem is our refusal to bridle our tongue. We talk too much. The things we see and the things we don't see. The things we hear and the things we don't hear.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, we always think that I should be number one. Me. Or we. Our own selfishness. Our own centeredness. Our ego, our focus, we see only ourselves. we see only ourselves. We don't want to look out and look outside the box. And because we look inward to ourselves, and everything is always about ourselves. Like someone has said, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can, so that nobody can come and get it from you. And because you get all you can, and you sit on the can, that nobody comes, some other person is interested in the content of your can. So don't sit on it for your own self-centered pleasure.
Yeah.
Some other person needs the help. So we should be prepared to share. Oftentimes, it begins and is centered in this disease called emotion. Our emotions get revealed, and it reveals our selfish goals. It reveals our lust for power, our envy that other people, the other brother has succeeded. Oh, what he did was accepted. Why is my own not accepted? You get angry. And we refuse to know that it is right, it is correct to be angry. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Be angry, but don't kill. Be angry, but don't tell a lie. Be angry, but don't set up one another. Be angry, but don't report your brother and exterminate him. So, the reason for our problem is self-centeredness and egotism. We become so self-centered, and this leads to infighting and fighting. When you have gotten all you can all you get, and you sit on the can, and your brother comes and says, no, let me share with you. Oftentimes, even in traveling, you sit in a chair and you don't want any other person to pass over you. You recline your chair in the airplane and block the space of the person behind you. As if you are the only one in the plane. And the person behind will tell you, please, lift up your seat a little. And you complain, I'm comfortable like this. And the exchange was, emotions arise, and trouble and problem start. This is one of the many reasons we have problems. The problems are meant to be solved. Problems are meant to provide messages for us. Problems are everywhere. Even within us as individuals, we have problems with ourselves, because sometimes you try to trim your nails and you end up hurting yourself. Nobody did it to you. You did it by yourself. So in order not to hurt yourself, you will find something to do and a better way to do it. So the reason for our problems in life is captured by James chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. It is there. It is our selfishness, self-centeredness, that we can solve this problem. We can overcome this problem. Now permit me to go a little bit into verse 4 to see the result of our problems. Because of our self-centeredness, because of our selfishness, it leads us to hostility. We become hostile to one another. Like in our country today, there is extreme hostility that is leading to tyranny everywhere. The nations of the world are in crisis because hostility is getting to extreme. People are becoming so hostile to one another. You go to the store, stand at the check-in counter or checkout counter, and before you know it, somebody is angry with you for taking so long, or somebody is arguing with you for not putting on your mask. What a world of hostility. Why? Because you think you are right and others are wrong. Or you think you are wrong and others are right.
Yes.
Self-centeredness. Me. I first. And so when you have a reason, there is a result for it. So self-centeredness must be put away because it leads us to hostility. Because people get so caught up in their own pursuit, like the Archbishop just mentioned about the two parties at play in this country. The Republicans have their own pursuit. The Democrats have their own pursuit. And when we look at the two, even though I'm not a politician, but not the son of a politician, but my observation, I discovered that the politicians are destroying this country by their policies. And nobody wants to sit down to reason. Like I've always said, education doesn't mean, being educated doesn't mean you have the ability to have a common sense. So therefore, we should learn to bridle our tongue and control our utterances and control the intensity of the language we use every day from one towards one another, towards each other. And we always say, your guess is as good as mine. Well, then a little bit like that, because all fingers are not equal. And we live in a world where all animals are equal, but some are more equal than the other. This is the reason for tension and problems and hostility. But we must not allow the hostility to overtake us. Be angry, but sin not.
Yes.
People will become hostile and tyrannic towards one another, and some are even carrying their hostility towards God. And we want to blame God. So blame God for every problem they have, even as Christians. It's unfortunate that many Christians are even blaming God. Oh, where is God? Where was God when you had that accident? Where was God when that situation struck you? Where was God? God is still sitting up there in heaven, taking care of us. We must control our self-centeredness. We must control our selfishness. We must control and overcome our egotistic behavior and attitude, because God is still God. He is in charge and He is in control. The Bible asks the question, they were like adulterers and adulteresses, everyone seeking to fulfill his ego, self-fulfillment, and forget the issues that binds them together. And so finally, the next arrow, what is the remedy for our problems? The remedy for our problems is humility. since God opposes the proud, he also helps the humble. For what King Solomon says, God resisted the proud, but given grace to the humble. How humble are you? How humble am I? Pride goes before a fall. But if we are humble and consider each other and care for each other and look at each other's problems and listen to each other's reasoning and point of view, that is why in the episodes, if we read it well, we will see at least 31 one another in the New Testament. 31 things we need to do for one another is there in the New Testament to enable us to solve our problem of wars and conflict. Care for one another, pray for one another, have compassion for one another, wait for one another. No.
Yes.
I can't wait for you. I've waited too long. Oh, you didn't come on time. The Bible says, wait for one another. So many. And this is not the time for me to begin to enumerate the 31 one another's in the Bible. Which means for each day of the month, there is something you need to do for one another. Not just me. Others first. So, since God opposes the proud but helps the humble, we need to look back into verse 2 of the book of James and see what the Bible says there. They didn't ask for anyone's help. Most of the time, humility brings both peace and solution. That is where we are today in this life. In the nations of the world, we must be willing to be humble. We must be willing to seek peace. You don't have peace with your friend. A one-time general said, if you want peace, speak to your enemies. That we live in a world where those that are contrary to our views, they don't see eye to eye. We don't want to speak to them. But if you don't speak to them, how would you get peace? If you don't talk to them, how are you going to resolve the problem? So God, the Word of God, if we must solve our problems in this life and in this world, we must be prepared to be honest. We must be prepared to be humble. We must be prepared to see the other side. Like the politicians will always say, my colleague on the other side of the aisle, you must be willing to listen to the other side of the aisle and not get everything to ourselves. It must be my way. It must be my way. Don't be the kind of pastor that will say, my way or the highway, my way or the highway. Everything, executive order, executive order, executive order. I won't listen to anybody. It must be the way I say it. It creates, and it leads to problems. For us to solve our problems, we must be willing to do away with self-centeredness. We must be willing to be humble. And we must be willing to be honest. It's sad, as I close, that in this nation today, there is no honesty from our Congress. There is no honesty from our White House. Everything they tell us, they tell us the ones in bold print, but they will not tell us the fine print. A bunch of lies, a bundle of lies. and misdirection. And because of this lie and misdirection and party-centeredness, egotism will continue to face problems until Jesus comes. But we thank God that the Prince of Peace said, in the world you shall have problems, you shall have tribulation, you shall have troubles, but our comfort, he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And before it gets too tough that you cannot endure, I will come and take you home. For he said, except the days be shortened, even the very elect will not be saved.
All right.
It's getting so bad.
Bishop,
thank you.
Bishop, we'll come back. We'll come back to you. We'll continue. We'll come back to you again, Bishop. We haven't finished. We have a special guest, Honorable Bishop Okona Kwawo. He's going to stay with us now. Then we're going to come back to Bishop Samuel Imam to continue. You're welcome, sir. Can you tell us a little bit about the Christ Evangelical Ministries and what God is doing? Tell us a little bit before you start preaching. Yes, over to you, Bishop Okona Kwawo.
Good evening, everybody. Are you hearing me?
Good evening. Yeah, we are hearing you.
Okay, this is Brother Kwawo. I'm glad to hear my beloved brother, Bishop Samuel Imong. We all go many years back. As Bishop Biokoro here, being my great associate and brother, a very dynamic brother. And
well,
Brother Imong, I can't even say more about this man, a very devoted man of God. I remember those days when we were roaming the streets of Nigeria, sometimes carrying equipment on our head to go and preach the gospel. And I'm so glad that Bishop Imong is here firing up and standing for the truth, you know. So many that started this race with us because of a lot of things that have come by, they're no more on this race. Even when they're on this race, they're still on the race, they're probably preaching a different gospel from what they were preaching before. Well, I thank God for the opportunity to be involved with what is going on now through the ministry of my brother, Archbishop Biokoro. He's been asking me for a while to come on. He did tell me I could share a few words from the scripture. Maybe I could do that later. But since he wants me to talk about what is going on with the Christ Evangelical Ministries, we are church of Jesus Christ. As I have always told people, we are non-denominational and interdenominational. It means we are not locked down to the four walls of the room. The hall or the room cannot contain us. And we are not limited to the small hall or the cathedral. Even though we don't meet, we don't have a big cathedral now, but we believe in the mission and the mandate of Jesus Christ that the church must be active. We must be proactive, taking the message to people all over the world. And that's what we're trying to do in our own little way. Resources can't stop us. Nobody should say that because we don't have 1,000 people in our church, then we cannot still do the mandate of Jesus. Or we don't have a big cathedral, so we cannot here preach the gospel. Here in the diaspora, America is a mission field. Anybody
yes.
that thinks that this country and the Western world is not a mission field, it means they do not look at the signs or listen to the signs of the times, and they're not watching
mm-hmm.
what is going on. So our mandate is clearly to reach people for Christ and to groom and raise men and women who would go forth and demonstrate the mission of Jesus and the mandate of Jesus. Just
mm-hmm.
like the book of Galatians says that there's neither Jew or Gentile, neither male nor female. In our ministry, we do not believe that the only people that can minister the gospel are people who are clergy. Something, unless you have the collar around your neck, then you cannot preach the gospel. No, that is not true. They should go back and read the mandate of Jesus. We also do believe that the age cannot be a problem, nor
mm-hmm.
economic condition. The status
mm-hmm.
of the person economically should not even be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And most of all, there's neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the woman and the male or the man are called by the Lord. They were saved by the Lord. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. The same grace that is upon men is also upon women. And the same deliverance that God offered to masculine people is the same deliverance that God offers to the women. And the same gospel that the Lord offered according to Mark 16 and Matthew 28 and so forth. The mandate is for all, and that we can go into the whole world and preach the gospel. So in Christ Evangelical Ministries, that's what we're
yes.
trying to do, and to groom
yes.
people and build them up in the most holy faith, and that to preach the complete gospel. The complete gospel is the gospel that involves being able to minister to whoever has been yoked up and within the captivity of the devil in sin to be delivered. That is the most important area of ministry, to have those people hear the good news and repent and turn over to the Lord. Not because they are perfect on their own, not because their self-righteousness could save them, not because, like some would say, they should keep all the laws that is found in the Bible, that would bring them salvation. The legal code
mm-hmm.
could not save anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they are so imperfect that God would not want them, but to preach the good news of deliverance, salvation to all men and women, irrespective of how sinful they have been. They can instantly repent and receive the forgiveness of God. And other than the issue of sin, salvation is offered with belief in the saving power that delivers from sin and preserves and protects and makes provision, and there's coverage and there's endowment of the power of God and the glory of God on such a life irrespective of the level, in terms of like what I said earlier. It doesn't matter whether they graduates from super seminaries or they're not even learned at all in terms of what we call the academics and so forth. But as long as they have believed, God has saved them. He's endowed them. He's put his power upon that in their lives. He's given them the mandate to go forth. I'm not saying that it is out of place to be well schooled. Many of us that are involved in the work here and other churches and ministries are well schooled, well trained, well groomed in terms of our intellectual capabilities, and also well trained in the Word of God. We believe that we should be well schooled, but not the kind of scholarship that comes because you attended a super a seminary. If you could, that is a big plus.
Yes.
And we also believe very strongly that the salvation that is offered us, according to the Greek word "sozo," it's not only for the redemption from sin, to take us to heaven, but while we are here on earth, that God is ever present with us. Like Mark 16 makes very clear that these signs shall follow they that believe. And according to the book of Exodus, and the Bible makes it very clear that he's given us the ability to be able to minister, and people are healed and delivered. There's nothing God, there's nothing that is too hard for our God to do. The mandate includes divine healing, which is spiritually, physically, materially, emotionally, psychologically, socially, and otherwise, everything that has to make a man complete has to do with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So that it's our belief that we can go forth in the power of God and be shining examples for God's people. We also try to minister to families, encouraging those whose relationships are suffering. So virtually, in short, that's what we do, and we support missions. Men and women of God, whether here in this country, in a little way that we are able, we're able to send them financial support from time to time. And we support the mission overseas, especially to poor pastors and poor men and women and people that need financial help. Those of us that are from Nigeria and maybe other African countries, we understand the depraved condition economically. So whatever we can put together in terms of some dollars, I can go a whole lot to help ministers, especially in the rural area, and those that are ministering in churches that people may not even recognize. So in short, those are the things that we are doing, and we're looking forward for God to help us to do better and better. So Archbishop, I'm sure you might have other things for me to, or you might have other questions for me.
First of all, what are your days of service? Because some people might want to key into your service online. Do you have the numbers? The numbers to call for people to come into the services?
Okay, all over in the United States, we have a number that people can just dial in. We are not on Zoom yet, but people can dial in. The number is 1-844-844-0414. And the code is 806-5048. Let me go over that again.
Yeah.
The number is 1-844-844-0414. The access code is 806-5048. The midweek meeting holds every Thursday at 7 p.m. and is the same number that people have to dial in. And our fellowship on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, is at 10 a.m. is the same number that people can dial in. The service runs usually from 10 a.m. till 11:30. Sometimes we go a little bit over. And the midweek meeting starts at 7 o'clock, and we end it at 8 p.m. Those are the days of our service, Sunday and Thursday.
All right. Supposing people want to call for counseling or prayers, is there a line where people can reach you for counseling or prayer? Is there a phone line?
If they want to call, they can call my private number, 240-429-9707. That is to reach me directly, 240-429-9707. And our ministry number is 240-463-5235. But I would prefer they could use my private number. Anybody that wants to, because I checked, I could get that quickly.
Yeah. So one more question. Now, with the prayer situation going on in the world, and then right here in the United States, there's inflation, there's prices are rising up and up because of the war in Russia and Ukraine. There's a lot of conflict even right now with all these political parties fighting one another and all that stuff. What advice do you have for the nation? As a man of God, what advice do you have for the nation right now, for the people of this country and for the nation? What do you think they can do to be able to persevere through this period, this trying time?
I would like to substantiate and maybe add a little to what Bishop Imong. I came in and heard a part of the message that he was sharing.
Yes.
But I would want to substantiate basically to let us know that the kingdoms of this world are meant to become the kingdom of our Christ. But prophetically, that has not yet completely fulfilled. Why? Because the ungodly and people who claim to also be followers of our Lord have not experienced or had an encounter in reality with the Lord. That is why we're still in this condition. The imperfection is still there. But that is not a reason for us not to be able to be who we should, who we are meant to be. What do I mean by who we are meant to be? We cannot expect the people from the kingdom of darkness, people that belong to the camp of the evil one, Satan, to be able to be the shining and beacon light that would bring peace to the world. Because, like our brother quoted earlier, the Lord himself said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." But before then, he said, in the world, you shall see tribulations, you shall see persecution, you shall see what it meant that this evil would be as long as the people from the kingdom of darkness are prevailing, are holding the tenets of the system and influencing even the people that call themselves the church folks. As the Archbishop has asked me, looking at James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, as had been analyzed and spoken earlier, this message that crises, that wars, that infightings, that there's hatred, there's bitterness in this imperfect system. Why? Because the people that are in leadership and even those not in leadership have not yet bowed to the true God. They have not yet in reality had an encounter with the Lord. And even when they claim to have an encounter, like this was written in James chapter 4, let's be realistic. This was actually written not really first to the world, but to the people within this supposed church of God. Because they have deviated from what they were supposed to be into fighting and quarreling and allowing self-interest to overtake them. And because of that, there was infighting. When we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 to verse 3, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that those of us that are within the church, are we not wise enough to be able to judge ourselves? Why is it that we allow the ungodly to judge us? The word judgment there does not only have to do with the aspect of condemnation, but to be able to sit down and truly evaluate ourselves and look at what we are doing. Like our brother said earlier, Bishop Imong, be able to evaluate and see what we are doing and what we are projecting even to the ungodly. If we can't do that and really x-ray ourselves and make sure that we are truly, truly committed and buried in the Lord, that our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. If our lives have not been truly yielded to him and to the Holy Spirit and to the obedience of not just saying the mandate to go and preach, but to become the living epistles, we therefore would have failed. I personally believe that why the nations are the way they are, starting from America, where we are now, onto even my home country where some of us really come from and other African countries, or whether in Asia or Europe and so forth, why there has been so much rebellion against God is that we who are in supposedly the church folks have not fulfilled that mandate the way we should fulfill. I'm not putting the whole blame on ourselves. It's not my place to do that. But it is my place as a prophetic voice, as a man of God, to call everyone, including myself, to go back to the basics. We need to go back. We need to really go back. It's a very simple life. The book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 1 makes it very clear that we are to be living sacrifices. And why? Because we have been crucified and buried with Christ, and therefore risen with Christ, according to Romans 6, verse 4. Buried and raised in Christ, and to a newness of life, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And therefore, now that we have been risen with Christ, and we must yield our system, ourselves completely, as living sacrifices unto the Lord. Why? Because we are the priestly people. Our bodies now, therefore, would be yielded unto the Lord as living sacrifices. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible makes it clear that those of us now who have believed, we are a royal priesthood. To perform the priestly duties, we cannot be a royal priesthood to bring forth sing forth and speak forth and live forth unto the praises of our Lord if we are not truly born again, if we are not delivered, if we are not buried in the Lord, if we have not had real encounter with the Lord, if we are not daily dying to ourselves, like our brother said earlier, we must be the living sacrifice and therefore become the proclaiming voices that would speak forth the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the delivering power of God. How can we say that we are a people who claim to be a people of the Lord, and yet there's been so much schism even among the supposed people of God, so much bitterness, like we heard about this conflict, whether here in America or in Nigeria, where I come from. And you go back into even some of our churches, you find out that there's so much schism, so much bitterness, so much hatred, so much nepotism, so much corruption, so much tribalism, yeah, racism, prejudice, and all kinds of things. Infighting, not only among politicians, or it comes back to self-interest. And when we dig and dig into it, the self-interest leads to the pocketbook. And many would want to do everything to crush their brothers and sisters. Why? Because they want to be a successful people. So I think a lot of the problems that we have in the world today is happened, like our brother said, because of bitterness and unreadiness to truly surrender to the Lord. And the only way for that peace and that healing to come about is in the true manifestation of the life of Jesus, which comes through the preaching of the word of the Lord. the word of the Lord. That's the only way that deliverance, that healing can come about. That's what we find in Isaiah 61, verse 1 to verse 3, and also Luke chapter 4, verse 18, to bring deliverance, to bring healing, and to minister to those who are brokenhearted, to minister to the poor and the needy, to minister to those who have been buried in the kingdom of darkness, and bring them deliverance. And so, first of all, God's people have to return to the basics. We have to go back to the truth. We have to continue to live out that life. And then, when we have done that, we can therefore have the right to challenge and be a prophetic voice to speak to the ungodly, whether they're in the, within the corridors of power or those that are at the bottom. No matter what is the stratosphere, we can therefore minister to them. And the good news for those that have the ears to hear and for those that have the heart to believe would bring about a change. I think I would end at that for now.
Yeah. We thank God. Stay with us. Before Bishop Samuel, your services. Well, when do you have them online and the phone numbers to reach you? Or people who want to join your services online. Let's have those information.
Yeah.
Are you talking to Bishop Ibu? Yes.
Like a prayer line. 10:30
every Sunday.
Oh, 10:30 a.m.?
Yes.
On what day?
Every Sunday.
Oh, yours is Sunday also.
Yes.
Okay, you don't have the prayer line, the phone line.
For 30 minutes.
I'm calling for... You can
call to join the service and view the service or listen to the broadcast service. It's 904-400-931.
Five what? Sorry, come again.
9 9 3 1 6.
Oh, 5 9 3 1.
No, 9 9 9 3 1 6.
Okay, 5 9 9 3 1.
I will check. No, 9 3 1 6.
Okay. Maybe you can
I will put it to you. Yeah, and then if you want to call for prayer and counseling, it's
7 9 0 7 9 0 1 4 2 6. 146?
Yes.
Okay. So, good. So, for those who want to join your services online, they can call the 904 number 400 9931 on Sunday, 10:30 a.m. to join your Facebook,
yes,
or they can join,
yes,
on Facebook.
Yes.
Or they can join
on Facebook.
Facebook
on
Live.
Facebook. Yes.
Yeah.
Facebook Live. It's just 30 minutes.
You can join on Facebook. Yes. Facebook Live.
Yeah.
With the name.
Yes.
Bishop Sam.
Bishop Samimor.
Covenant Church?
No. Bishop Samuel Imo.
Okay.
Yeah, just that.
All right. So, yeah, we got that. Bishop Samuel, can you answer a question or two? What advice will you give to world leaders? Because this broadcast goes to BBC, VOA, CNN, and they echo it to world news. What we are broadcasting now goes to the nation. And through Twitter, what we are broadcasting now is live on Twitter, Facebook, link, and all the social media. It's reaching the government of the world. They are listening to us. Even presidents are listening to us. Now, what advice would you give to world leaders concerning what is going on now? Because it's like every nation is getting ready to go into this war. They are getting ready to take sides. And some are already taking sides. Some are preparing to take sides. And right now, the nations, they are buying war equipment. They are buying war equipment, getting ready to go into one form of war or the other, either China with Taiwan or the continuation of Russia and Ukraine or several other wars they are getting ready to unleash all over the world. You see it on the news, you see it everywhere. Now, what advice do you have for world leaders? Should this be their direction? Should this be, as a man of God, what advice will you have for world leaders? Should this be the direction? Are we supposed to be fighting wars all the time? Is it profiting us? What are we going to gain from all this war? Well, what's going on? What is really going on? So, tell the world something. Say something to the whole world.
Okay.
Right now, yeah.
What is going on in the world today is the fulfillment of the scriptures. Ezekiel 37:38-39. The red dragon, China, the Middle Kingdom, and the red bear, Russia. The Middle Kingdom, red dragon, China, wants to dominate the world.
Yeah.
They want to gain supremacy. And so my advice to world leaders is to do and be much more involved in agricultural production, food preservation, and food storage for their citizens and populace, and not to be thinking of the population of the world. That is not their responsibility. They should make food available for their population, because the military-industrial complex, whether calling Russia, China, or America, or Britain, is all self-aggrandizement, forgetting about the people they rule. They should know that the Lord God Almighty is the governor of the nation.
Yes.
and that God is angry every day with the wicked. If the world leaders are wicked to their citizens, God will punish them. So my advice to the leaders of the world is to make the policies that will grant freedom, liberty, and provision of the essentials of daily life for their citizens through food provision, energy provision, and whatnot, so that we might live in peace and harmony. We have been praying and we keep praying that we may live in peace and godliness in this world. But the princesses of this world, the princes and princesses of this world are after their families and pockets and using the common man's tactics to take care of themselves at the expense of the middle class. Therefore, they should speak peace and talk about peace one to another, every day, every moment, because the world is in terrible crisis, and it seems to me that the leaders of the world are not interested in allowing their citizens to live in peace and quietness. They are terrorizing their citizens, and the terrorism is increasing every day. Hostility on the streets, infighting, is the fulfillment of the word of God because of James chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us return to the negotiating table and speak one to another, and let every nation and every leader think about the welfare of their populace or citizens. Finally, Jeremiah says, seek for the welfare of the land in which you dwell, for in its welfare will be your welfare. Every citizen, whether Christian or not Christian, let us think about how can the land in which I dwell be good and be in peace. Prophet Jeremiah encourages us, whether you are left or right, seek for the welfare of the land in which you dwell, for in the welfare of the land will be your welfare. And the Bible says, in your obedience, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, the fruit of the land. And that's what I will say to our leaders. Let them be willing and obedient so that we will eat the good of the land. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to pray now. Thank God we form a quorum in three or four, plus others who have joined us on Facebook, Twitter, link, and all the social media that are listening and following up. We're going to pray right now. This is a very crucial time. I tell you what, if Christians all over the world will not pray for what is going on right now, it's about to escalate. I'm telling you, there's so much diversion of funds, so much millions and billions are now being pushed towards fighting wars. Instead of taking care of the poor people in their countries, taking care of the homeless, the sick, and the underprivileged, they are diverting millions of dollars and pounds selling some. They are diverting money into fighting wars right now. It shouldn't be so. it shouldn't be. This is the devil. And then the nations are being divided more and more. The whole world is being divided now. There are now so many partitions. The communist countries are on one side, the capitalist countries are on one side, the Islamic nations are on the other side, and so on and so forth. Now we talk of interior here, where we have the Republicans and the Democrats, not even agreement, and even the news, all what they are reporting shows that there is conflict even in the house of government. And talking about the church, it's also the same. We need to pray. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. Thank God we are more than 3 years. Some people are with us on Facebook, Twitter, links, and so on the social media. Some have joined us by phone, joined us on the internet, joined us from wherever they are. There is no distance to prayer. We're going to pray right now. Thank God there are three bishops here. We are going to pray for world peace, for unity to reign. We don't want to live in fear. We don't want to live in conflict. We don't want to live in confrontation. We don't want to continue in bloodshed. We don't want prices, inflation to continue, and all kinds of things that are going on, negative things all over the world. We're going to pray for peace. Jesus said, peace be still, and there was peace. The love of God should be restored to our nation. Yes, people, let us pray right now in the name of Jesus. Please, everybody, let us pray for the whole world in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let me read that verse.
For the
love of God to reign. For you to be prayed in the name of Jesus.
Oh, like your word has said, that the very people which belong by thine will humble themselves and pray. Would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent of that evil act. Hear from heaven and hear that Lord, we come before you with your communication. We have prayed.
Let the fire of the Lord
and tell the Lord again, you
bend down the fire,
leadership in the church, leadership at home, leadership of the nation. That's going to be tomorrow, Sunday, by 6 p.m. in the evening. So this is an international program, so we don't do it in the morning. In the morning, everybody go to your church. Late evening, by 6 p.m., we're going to have another section. And I tell you, God has blessed us today. We have received the word of God. May we be doers of this word and not just hearers alone. In the name of Jesus, Father, bless everyone who participated in this.
Amen.
Reward them abundantly.
Amen.
In the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Amen.
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 Yes, so
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Yes, we forward this message to everyone. You know, email it, text it, and tweet it out, share it. Let them know the truth, that the truth has set them free. God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. We are praying. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. All right.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank you. Yes. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. He's coming back again. Hallelujah.